Matthew chapter 6. I believe that the Lord's given me a lesson for us this morning that will be very, very helpful. It has been to me as I studied it, and I trust it will be to you as we look at it. I've titled the lesson this morning, Consider the Lilies. This would be the cure for worry. Consider the Lilies. Now, I want to look at these verses in our text this morning and look at the obvious truth that they're teaching. And then I want to come back and I want us to see the more important spiritual truth that the Lord is teaching us here. In short, this is what the Lord's teaching. Here's the cure for worry. It's to rest in Christ. If Lord would give us faith to rest in Christ, if Lord give us faith to see Him, we would have no reason for worry. Now, verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6, our Lord says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, we don't worry when we feel secure. We feel like we don't have anything to worry about. If we feel like that we have enough of what we need, then we feel like we don't have anything to worry about. Well, the question is, what do you need? What is it that you need? Everybody needs something. What is it that makes you feel secure? And you'll serve that. Whatever it is that you need, you will serve it by spending your time and your energy to get it because you know that you need it. And the Lord tells us it's one of two things that we need. Either it's the riches or the stuff, the things of this world, or it's Christ. It cannot be both. Impossible. If it's the riches of the world, the things of the world that makes you feel secure, then you'll seek those things. You'll serve them by seeking them. But in doing so, you won't be able to seek Christ and to worship Him, to seek Him. But if you need, if the God the Holy Spirit has made your need to be the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll serve Him by seeking Him. Seeking Him first above all things, by worshiping Him first above all things. Now, that does not mean that you won't have to go out and earn a living. You won't be able to live like a monk in a monastery, you know. You're still going to have to go out and earn a living. You're going to have to go out in the world and earn a living and take care of your family and provide for those things, take care of the things that are necessary. But you'll trust in the Lord to provide while you're doing it. That's what the Lord's teaching. Your security is not going to be in bank accounts and retirement accounts and real estate holdings. Your security is going to be in the Lord, who is the one who owns everything anyway. Now, you're still going to have to think about your job, the things that you've got to do. You've got to think about how is it that you can do the best job you can possibly do. Trusting in the Lord to provide also means you're going to be the best worker that you can possibly be, the best worker in the company. And it's your responsibility to take care of your family. You got to think about your family. You got to think about what they need. You got to prepare for the future for your family. That's your responsibility so that they don't find themselves in want. You got to be prudent. You got to be wise in these things, but not greedy. But not greedy. In verse 25, the word thought the Lord uses there means anxious thought. I mean, he doesn't say don't be unmindful of the things going on in the world. But don't be anxious about these things. Don't be tormented because you don't feel like you've got enough stuff. You don't have to be greedy. Gather this world's goods and hold them as tight as you possibly can in order to be safe and secure. Not if you're trusting in the Lord, you don't. So the wise choice, this is obvious, isn't it? Almost anybody can tell you this. The wise choice is, seek the Lord first. You're not going to have excessive worry if you're trusting in the Lord to provide. Verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, no anxious thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now you who believe, you do not have to worry about having enough to eat. The Lord feeds the wild birds of the field, and they're not worth anything. I mean, they're worth nothing. You're worth more than them. So the Lord's going to feed you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to feed you. Now understand what the Lord's saying. The Lord's going to feed you. You don't have to worry about not having enough to eat. The Lord's going to feed you. But he's not saying that you don't have to worry about your job. You don't have to worry about going out and work. No, you can't be lazy and just expect the Lord to rain these things upon you. You've never seen a bird plant seed and prepare for spring to start growing that seed and prepare for a harvest to gather that fruit back in the fall, have you? You've never one time seen a bird planting seeds and preparing for winter. Yet the Lord feeds them, doesn't he? But birds are hard-working animals. Now, the Lord feeds them, but birds are always looking for seeds and worms and grubs and berries. They're always looking for them. And this is what the Lord's teaching us. Go work for your bread. If man won't work, don't let him eat. That's what Scripture says. That's not too hard. That's what God says. Go to work and do a good job. Earn your bread, all the while remembering that Christ is your life. Christ is your life, not the things of this world. Go to work and do a good job and trust the Lord to provide. That applies to clothing. It applies to everything our bodies need to live. Look at verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now here is the cure for worry. Consider the lilies. If you find yourself worrying excessively, just look at a field of lilies. Those lilies don't work to make themselves beautiful. They don't go out and try to find expensive clothes and do different things to try to make themselves look beautiful. The Lord just makes them beautiful by the way he clothes them. Consider the lilies. Our Lord mentions Solomon here. Solomon or somebody, probably spent a lot of time on Solomon's wardrobe. If he didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it, one of his servants did, didn't he? When the Queen of Sheba saw Solomon in all his finery, she saw him in his kingdom, she saw him with his servants, how happy his servants were to serve him. She saw the bounty of his table. Scripture says there was no more spirit left in her. She was just could hardly breathe when she saw the glory of Solomon. And she said, the half of Solomon's glory hadn't been told me. I first heard of it and I thought they were exaggerating. And truth be told, the half's not been told. What a sight Solomon must have been. You want to see something more breathtaking than that? Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. Our master said Solomon was never clothed as beautifully as the lilies of the field. Because God clothed them. Now, if God clothes the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field are not lilies you ladies plant and take care of. They're the lilies of the field. Nobody planted them. Nobody takes care of them. Really, nobody thinks much about them. They drive by them and see there's some lilies over there. They really don't think much about them. It's a flower nobody cares about. Nobody planted. Well, don't you ever think God's going to let you go naked who believe. God purchased you with the blood of his son. God's planted you in his vineyard. He's going to take care of you. This is surely as he takes care of the lilies of the field. Now, clothing-wise, it may not be the finest from a New York City fashion show, but it'll get the job done. You're not going to go naked. Verse 30, the Lord says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the heathen, seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now the Lord says, take no anxious thought. You know, excessive worry about these things, the things of the flesh, Do you know that dishonors God? I mean, it's dishonoring to our God. It shows weak faith. Our Lord calls those who are excessive worriers, O ye of little faith. Now, here's the thing about little faith. Little faith saves. Because it's not the strength of faith that saves, it's the object of our faith that saves. Little faith will save because Christ is the Savior. But let us never, ever, ever use that as an excuse to have weak faith. Because we have a great God. And you want to know the cure for excessive worry? Trust Christ. Trust Christ. Now, Clark and I were sitting talking last night. He didn't know I was going to be dealing with this, but he made a very profound statement about little faith. You want to know the cure for little faith? Clark said, if you have little faith and you want more, look to Christ. If you're looking to Christ, you'll have strong faith. Your faith will be strong if you see Him more, because you see Him as all that you need. Look to Christ. That's the cure for excessive worry. It's a cure for little faith. And excessive worry also shows a lack of trust in our Father. In our Father. I don't know if you caught this in Dan's prayer, but he said about let's not take this for granted, the intimate relationship that God's given us with our Father. With our Father. Well, if God's our Father and we have excessive worry, doesn't that show a lack of trust in His love for His people? Doesn't that show a lack of trust in His ability to provide everything that we need? You know, I can understand the heathen thinking that way, but I can't understand God's people thinking that way, God's children. And yet I can understand it. I can. Can't you? To our shame, we have to admit we've all done it. This excessive worry that just torments us. I can understand it. No excuse for it, but I can understand it. Our Father has never one time given us a reason to doubt Him. Not one time. He's not one time given us any reason to question His love for us or to question His willingness and His ability to provide everything that we need. God's children have a relationship with our Father. Then the cure for excessive worry is trusting our Father. Trusting our Father. And we shouldn't have excessive worry about all the things that our Father will take care of. So a cure for excessive worry is childlike faith. It's childlike faith. Just trust our Father. Now look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, here's another reason not to spend time excessively worrying. Our worrying never solves the problem. Not one time ever. And really, it adds to it. It doesn't even contribute to a solution. All our worrying does is make us more miserable. And no matter how much time and energy we spend worrying, our Lord says it won't make you grow an inch. Not an inch. And by experience, I can tell you that's true. I mean, more than anything in this world, when I was a kid, I wanted to be 6'7". I just somehow thought that if I could be 6'7", I could play for University of Kentucky. It didn't matter that I can't dribble, jump, or shoot. I just thought if I was 6'7", I'd have this chance, you know. And I did everything I could think of to be 6'7". See how it worked? It didn't work at all, did it? Not one bit. Why worry about the things that we're not in control of anyway? Isn't that just a waste of time? But can't we trust our Father? Now, is our God is in control of everything that happens. I mean, from dust flying through this air, we can't even see, to the big events of the world. Now, is that just doctrine to us? Or is that what we believe about our Father? Is He in control of everything? Then why do I worry about it? Why would I worry about it? Look at Luke chapter 12. All we're doing when we worry about those things that our Father's in control of anyway, we're just wasting our time. I think we could find something better to spend our time on than worrying about these things our Father's in control of. Luke 12, verse 25. And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Why worry about these things? You can't change the outcome. You can't change anything. You can't affect the least thing. Then why worry about the great things? I mean, that's just so logical. If you can't affect the least thing, why worry about the greatest thing? Why don't we just trust our Heavenly Father, who's in control of these things? Now, the real key to the spiritual truth that the Lord's teaching here, that we've seen just like the surface natural truth of those things, it's something that could help us. Seems like in this day and time, everybody's full of anxiety and worry. This is a good cure for those things. But here is the key to the real spiritual truth that the Lord's teaching. It's found in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Now this is the key. The real spiritual truth the Lord is teaching is his righteousness. He's teaching us about God's righteousness and his kingdom. Look back a page at chapter 5. This is what he's been doing ever since in this whole what we call Sermon on the Mount. But here, especially in verse 20, look what he says. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this has been his subject ever since. It's righteousness. How is a sinner made righteous? How is a sinner made where he can enter the kingdom, God's kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness? So the cure for spiritual worry, this is really the primary subject the Lord's dealing with. The cure for spiritual worry, anxiety, is trusting Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And there's nothing we need more than that. I mean, we're going to seek the thing. We're going to serve the thing that we need, right, by seeking it. Well, there's nothing we need more than Christ and his righteousness, because we're completely unrighteous. And God will only accept perfect righteousness. Now, with that in mind, go back to verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that word mammon, we normally think it means money, but that's not what it means. The word means your confidence or your trust. You can't trust Christ plus. You can't trust Christ plus your faith. You can't trust Christ plus you keeping the law. You can't trust Christ plus your morality, because you cannot mix grace and works. Grace and works are two different masters, and you can't serve them both. You love the one and hate the other. And if you're trying to keep the law, you are causing yourself excessive worry. If you're trying to serve the law, you cannot avoid excessive worry. If you're trying to keep the law as the way that you can come before God, you have to constantly worry. You have to constantly worry, am I keeping the law well enough to be saved? Am I keeping the law well enough to keep my salvation? You know, some people think God saves me by his grace, but then I got to keep it by how well I keep the law. Well, if you think that, you're causing yourself excessive worry, because you, am I? How do I know? Am I keeping the law well enough? Well, let me tell you, no, you're not. No, you're not. So quit tormenting yourself and rest in Christ. Just rest in Christ. Resting in Christ is the key to stopping excessive worry about the state of your soul. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? If you can't put away even the smallest, what we say is the smallest sin. I mean, what we would think is just one smallest sin is enough to damn us. But if you can't stop even the smallest, most insignificant sin, why are you trying to put away all of them? If you can't keep what you think is the easiest commandment to keep, what are you worrying about all the rest of them for? You can't do the least thing. Then quit tormenting yourself and rest in Christ, who's done all things. He's done all things well. Just rest in him. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life, for your soul, what ye should eat or what ye should drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now by nature, spiritually, we're starving to death. All of us are. We try to find something to eat. And you know what we end up trying to eat? The husks, the empty husks of our own works. And there's nothing there. There's nothing to sustain your soul there. There's nothing nutritious for your soul there. Spiritual food, spiritual health for your soul can't be had by earning it by your works. Spiritual food is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, and he gives himself to his people freely, without their works. It's just like manna from heaven. All you got to do is go out and pick it up. Lay hold on Christ by faith. Christ, the bread of life, is not had by our works of the law. But don't you think that means you can have him by being lazy either. Don't think, oh, well, you'll ever be saved, you'll be saved. And if I'm just sitting on my porch doing nothing, God will strike me with lightning and boom. You know, no, that's not how it works. You have, just like the birds. And they don't plant. They don't reap. But they're always working, aren't they? They're always seeking food. You have to avail yourself to the means of grace. Our Lord said, seek the kingdom of God. Seek it. Seek to find it. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the righteousness of Christ. You can't earn it, but you can seek it. You can seek to have it freely. Then seek it where it's found, where God's word is preached, where Christ is preached. God's sheep feed on Christ, the living bread, by being in the public worship service where Christ is preached. God reveals himself and saves his people through the preaching of the gospel. And that very same message that saves one of God's sheep over here, that very same message feeds one of God's sheep over here. The same message fits the need of everybody in the congregation. Then quit your working. Quit trying to earn it. And seek grace where it's found. Seek Christ where he's found. Through the preaching of the gospel. Because that's the only way God's sheep are going to be fed. Verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now when Adam ate that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam realized he was naked. Now that meant more than Adam didn't have any clothes on. Now he didn't have any clothes on, but that wasn't the real problem. The real problem was spiritual nakedness. Adam had always didn't have any clothes on. Never a problem. His real problem now was spiritual nakedness. He'd been stripped of righteousness. He'd been stripped of innocence. He suddenly had no covering for his guilty soul before God. And all of us are born into the world spiritually the exact same way. Just like our father Adam, we're naked. Without a covering, without righteousness, without innocence, and we inherently feel shame about it. We inherently know I've got to do something. Something's got to be done to make this up between me and God, and we think we got to do it. So what do? We get busy trying to spin a robe of righteousness. We get busy trying to spin these things together to piece together enough good works that we think will cover our righteousness. But our problem is everything we do is no better than Adam's fig leaves. I mean, Adam made him a fig leaf apron, didn't he? His bodily nakedness was covered. Then why did he hide in the bushes when God came? Because he's naked. He didn't have a covering for his soul, for his guilty sin. And when we try to piece together our good works enough to make us a patchwork quilt, you know, to cover our nakedness, all we've got is filthy rags. Rags that are defiled by our sin. And a constant worry. Do I look good enough to God? Do I look good enough that God might accept me? is spiritual worry that tortures the soul. Have I done enough for my soul that on that last tomorrow, is God going to accept me in the day of judgment? It's torture to the soul. Well, the cure for that spiritual excessive worry is quit trying to spin your own garment and seek to be found in Christ's righteousness. Seek to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And when we're dressed in the righteousness of Christ, that means that God just gives us a robe we can put on and over, the sin and decay and everything we want to hide still there. Being dressed in Christ's righteousness means that God actually makes us righteous by giving us the obedience of Christ, our representative. When he obeyed the law, we did too. So we're righteous in him. He makes us actually righteous. Now here's the cure for excessive worry for your soul. Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. The Lord Jesus Christ is the lily of the valley. None can be compared to him, can they? Oh, his beauty. He's altogether lovely. He's perfect. When the bride sees him, she says, there's no spirit left in her. Oh, he's so beautiful. The half of his glory hadn't been told. Consider the lilies. Christ, the lily of the valley. And when God saves a sinner, you know what he does? He makes them just like his son. He puts them in Christ, the lily of the valley. So that when Almighty God, God the Father, sees his people, when he looks at his people, you know what he sees? He sees the lily of the valley. He sees us in Christ. He sees us as beautiful and as holy and as righteous and as perfect as God's Son himself. Now you can't be more perfect than that. You can't be more beautiful. You can't be more loved. You can't be more accepted than that. Just consider Christ the lily of the valley. And you've got nothing to worry about. Nothing. Not one thing. Seek. The Lord says, seek him. Seek the lily of the valley. Righteousness is a gift of God. Then ask him to give it to you. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask God to give it to you. You can't earn a righteousness, but you can beg God for it. That's how we seek it. Consider Christ, the lily of the valley, and seek to be found in him. That's what the Lord's telling us. Verse 30, he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If God's blessed you with salvation through the death of his son, if God's taken care of your greatest need, you reckon he's going to take care of your smaller needs too? No, I believe he will. I really do. I am sure our Father will do what any wise, good, loving father here on earth would do. He'll take care of those smaller needs too. See, the excessive cure for worry is to trust our Father to provide everything that he requires. So seek Christ first. He's what we need. Seek him with all your heart. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek Christ first, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I don't know what the Lord will add to you physically, but I do know what he'll add to you spiritually. Seek Christ first, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, forgiveness of sin, justification, eternal life. All these things will be added to you. If God's going to add all those things to you, reckon he's able to take care of those smaller, little insignificant things of this life, like something to eat, something to wear? Of course he will. In verse 34, therefore take no thought, no anxious thought for tomorrow. Now prepare for tomorrow in case it comes, but don't take any anxious thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now don't have this excessive worry about tomorrow. Today is enough for us, isn't it? Today and its problems, today and its joys, that is more than enough for us to handle. Let's leave tomorrow to tomorrow. Tomorrow, maybe it will bring trouble. Maybe it will. I don't know. Maybe it will. But why worry about it before it comes? Why worry about it? My grandmother used to say, don't borrow trouble. And I thought about that a lot this week. Don't borrow trouble. Because, you know, when you borrow something, you got to pay interest on it, don't you? Not pay interest on the trouble. Let's just wait till tomorrow. Songwriter said this, I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrows is the one who stands by me. And the path is my portion. May be through the flame or flood. It will be some tomorrow. I promise you that. But his presence goes before me. And I'm covered in his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. That's it. That's the cure for excessive worry about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. And if tomorrow comes, you know who'll be there? Our Lord's going to be there. He'll be there if tomorrow comes. He'll be there with grace that's sufficient for the day. And when that last tomorrow comes, and you worry about your soul, consider the lily. Consider Christ the lily of the valley. Don't have excessive worry about judgment. Rest in Christ, who's already been judged for his people. That's the cure for excessive worry. All right. Lord bless you.